listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Well, I'm really excited to have our guest speaker here today. This man is my old youth pastor from a long time ago, and I think the last time we saw each other, I was probably in my early 20s and he was probably in his late 20s, and it's been that long, so scary. But it's a real privilege to have Pastor Joe here. As I mentioned, in the late 90s, Pastor Joe was the youth leader at Seton, so I know a few of us here had Pastor Joe as our youth pastor, and in 2000 he went out to Anglevale to pastor a church, which is now Hope Central in Elizabeth South, and that church has since planted two churches, which is awesome. So that's a real good thing to be thankful for. And now he's actually stepped into the role of state chairman. So most of you would know Pastor Hans Vortman, who we've had here. We get him about once or twice a year. So he was the state chairman for many years, and just last 2 years ago, was it, Joe? Took over from Hans as state chairman for South Australia, West Australia and Northern Territory. So really excited to have him here. Let's put our hands together and welcome Pastor Joe.
Gracias, Pablo. Oh, sorry, wrong language. It's great to be here and to see some of the old folks that I have not seen for so very long. Paul was saying, I was there at Seton for about 2.5 years, just enough time to get rid of Alan and Effie. I think they left about the same time I did, and good to see you guys, Danny and Liz. It's been years. It's been a really wonderful journey, though. I'm sorry for this if you haven't seen me in 20 years. The impact is quite frightening. I know that I'm still frightened by it. When I see myself in the mirror, I look up and it, yeah, what's happened? In case you're wondering, I do have two beautiful grown-up children now. They are, Charlotte is 26 and married and has a child, Evelyn. She's a year and a half old. I'm a bit ringy here, guys. You'll figure it out, you smart people. My second one, Lily, she is 22 years old and newly married and doesn't have any kids yet. Thank you, Jesus. Because we are having one grandchild puts a real hole in the bank account. Do you know that? They're just rushing out. And been state chairman now for a couple of years, which, thank you to COVID, has been made very interesting. I'm just here to share with you something that I think a lot of Christians struggle with, and that is to understand the concept of the new creation. The new creation I'm going to be talking to you today as the good seed. And before I get into it, I want to tell you a story. My family used to make popcorn on the stove. Anybody? Nowadays you get it in a microwave bag. We used to do it on the stove. You get a big pot, you pile in a pile of oil and popcorn seeds, and you put it away, you put it on the hot plate, and you shake it around so that nothing gets burned. And it was really great. Mom had a glass lid on the hot plate so that you could watch the seeds pop and no one would get oil in their face, and it wasn't like a mystery, you didn't just hear it, you could watch. But let me tell you that the most interesting thing about having popcorn was my brother and I have an older brother, a year and a half older, our big desire was that a lot of the seeds would not pop. Because the seeds that didn't pop ended up in the bottom of the popcorn pail, and at the end of the night, my brother and I collected them. And then over the course of the year, we built up a big reservoir of unpopped popcorn seeds. And once a year, we would get all of our combined mates over, and we would have collected a lot of McDonald's straws. In the old days, McDonald's straws used to be slightly bigger. I don't know if you know this, but they actually shaved 1.5 millimeters off the diameter, and it saved them millions of dollars a year. But they are now no longer suitable for popcorn seeds. But back in the day, they were an excellent, perfect trajectory size, so that you could pop that caliber of seed in that straw. And we would load up our chipmunk cheeks full of popcorn seeds, and we would chase one another around the yard. Now, we had about a quarter acre, so there was plenty of land, but it was a very steep sort of property with a hill, so we would be running up and down and... And then, you know, and I never really hurt that much, but, you got a moral victory by hitting your buddy in the eye with a popcorn seed. You feel good about that, you know? So we would chase each other around, and by the time we'd finish off this massive vat of slightly oily, stinky, popcorn seeds, then the game would be over and we'd go inside and do whatever you did, watch ice hockey. Well, the next year, my dad came in one time with a plant. And he said, "What are these growing all through the yard, all over the hill?" And you're going to be able to guess that we had a crop of corn on our property. It was in the lawn, it was up the hill, it was in the garden beds. And Dad is like, "How in the world do we have corn? What?" And he blamed us, as you would, as a good father does. He blames the most likely culprits. And so we told him, but now listen, the whole point of this is this. Is anybody surprised that corn plants grew from corn seeds? Wouldn't it be absolutely astounding if there was a bunch of olive trees growing in the yard? Because we shot corn kernels, or if we'd shot orange seeds, there should be orange plants, right? Doesn't that make sense? The idea of seeds and the product of a seed is a central element in the entire story of the Bible. A huge amount of what Jesus talked about and what the scriptures refer to is a bunch of natural things that everybody gets, but then we sometimes think that the Christian life is very different than the thing that God set up. But the truth is, if I planted corn seeds, what will grow? Apple seeds? Apple trees? No. Banana trees. If I planted corn seeds, what's going to grow? Well, it's not going to grow apple seeds. I should have wrote trees, but this is according to the creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 11. Chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, the fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kinds on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that that was really good. Each, can you say this with me? Each according to its kind. Say to the, oh, each according to its kind. We're really, really grateful for that, aren't we? Because we don't want it to be random. No, you really want it to cut, if you want apples, you better plant some apple seeds. If you want corn, you better plant corn. We love that it's regular, routine, and really predictable like that. We want it to be according to its kind, except we forget that this is also a law of faith. So Jesus, one time talking, he said this, and let's explain a few things in this parable as we go along. He said, "Beware of false prophets." Pseudo-prophetos, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy, that is, good tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits, because the fruit is each according to its kind. And if you are a bad tree, you will produce what kind of fruit? Bad fruit. And if you're a good tree, what kind of fruit will you produce? Good. What if you're a bad tree who really wishes you were a good tree? What if you tried really, really, really hard to produce good fruit and you were a bad tree? would you produce good fruit? No, because Jesus did not say, if you are a good tree, then you're just lucky. But if you're a bad tree, you better try really, really hard. Now, see, I went to Sunday school, I grew up hearing these kinds of stories. And when I read this story, I don't know if my teachers meant me to get this message, but I always read this story and thought, I want to be a good tree. Anybody get that feeling? I want to be the good tree in that story. I want to be the one that produces good fruit. But does Jesus say in the story that you can be a good tree just by wanting to? No. Oh, I used to work on a Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge in everywhere in the world has different operations. In Vancouver, in Canada, which is where I was born and from and learned to speak like this, in Vancouver, we had a group home to help kids recover from drug addiction, and we also had a drop-in center. The drop-in center was in the worst part of downtown core, and we ended up with the worst of the sort of the leftovers from society regularly coming into our drop-in center. Now, the thing about it being Teen Challenge is that we only allowed teenagers to actually come in our drop-in center. So I was very surprised one day when a 6'8" gentleman walked into our place, and I confronted him at the door and said, I'm sorry, sir, but you can't come in here. You're too old. You're not a teenager. And he said, I'm 15. I thought, okay, someone's been hogging all the Wheaties. So over a period of time, I got to know this gentleman. His name was Steve. Steve wore a great big cowboy hat, and he wore these giant cowboy boots. He must have about a size 18 or 20 feet. Well, I guess you get that when you're 6'8". He had these giant cowboy boots that were blunt on the toe with a giant heel and a buckle on the side. They called them Daytons. They were really good for just about anything you wanted to kick. And one day I noticed that Steve, back in the day, he wore a brand new gadget called a pager. This was before mobile phones, and if anyone don't know what those are, a pager was a mobile phone that just annoyed you and you could never call anyone back. I said, Steve, what's the pager about? What's going on with the pager? And he said, well, I'll tell you. He said, my mission, my purpose, is to try to be a better person, and how I do that is I give all of the prostitutes on the street my number, my pager number. And if they're ever in trouble with a John, and a John is what we called the guys that picked up the girls, if they're ever in trouble in a room on their own with a John, they can page me, and I will come, and I will kick down the door, and then I will kick in the face of whoever else is in that room. And Steve did that. Steve was getting picked up occasionally by the police, and there was never any charges because nobody was able to testify. This giant 6'8", 15-year-old guy with a cowboy hat and Dayton boots would come knocking through a door, kick some guy in the face, and drag a girl out, and it was a really strange thing. And I said, Steve, why are you doing that? And he said, because of God. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I'm trying to become a better person. And I thought, before I can come to God, I have to become good. And this is one of the good deeds I'm doing. And I thought, that's really, really sad, because Steve thinks that if he tries hard enough, he will become a good tree. But he feels bad all of the time because he doesn't produce good fruit. Now, I'm going to guess, if you're a young person, you're still at this moment in your life where you're honest with yourself a little bit, and you admit that you do things that you're ashamed of. When you do things that you're ashamed of, you feel and think to yourself, I must be a bad seed. And you wonder, what can I do about that? Now, if I was a bad prophet, if I was a false prophet would come and say, you have goodness inside you. If you try hard enough, you will become good. Do things my way, under my guidance, under my rules, under my regulations, under my methods, and you ultimately will become good. That person is a wolf pretending to be one of God's sheep. You see, Jesus, question, did Jesus say that a bad tree can produce good fruit? No, he didn't. He did say that bad trees cannot produce good fruit. Did Jesus say that good trees can produce bad fruit? No, he said a good tree will always produce good fruit. What about if they try very hard? Now, religion is when you try very hard to be something that you are not. And it's also a great name for a hypocrite, pretending to be something that you're not. So, if an orange tree tries very hard to bear apples, will it be able to? It will not. Okay, John chapter 3, verse 1. An old man, Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus. If you're wondering what Nicodemus is like, just think Yoda. Nicodemus is like the Jewish version of Yoda. Okay, he knows all of the ways of the Force, except it's a Jewish Force. He knows all of the law, the commands, the Torah, the Talmud. He knows all of the ways. He studied them his entire life. He's an old man. He comes in, Jesus, you are, And he meets, he's a member of the ruling council. That means that he's part of the community that tries to keep the Jewish regulations enforced. He wants to punish things that are immoral and anti-Jewish culture, and he'll try to keep order and keep the Jewish culture alive in that community. He's part of the Sanhedrin, but he's a Pharisee, so he's on the side of rule-keeping in order to make things right. And so it says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night and said to him,
Rabbi, we know the teacher you are, come from God you have, for no one can do these signs, do you, unless God is within him.
Sorry, I'm trying to youth it up. I'm probably failing miserably. I said, X-wing fighter going down. But he comes to Jesus and he's actually presenting an idea. And the idea is this. What does he see in Jesus' life? Good fruit, right? He sees Jesus produces good fruit. And his assumption is then that Jesus must be a good tree, right? So he's trying to get good advice from a good source, which is really smart to do. And he says, Rabbi, you must have come from God, because no one can do these signs you do unless God is with them. And Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Except that Nicodemus has no idea what he's talking about. Because he just is like, hang on a second with it. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So Jesus is like, he says to him, Nicodemus comes to him and goes, you've got good fruit. How do you get the good fruit? What are you doing with getting the good fruit? How do you get the fruit out? I want to do some fruit things myself. And Jesus says to him, it's really simple. You just get born again. And Nicodemus says, so far, all I've ever heard is try really hard to be good. Try to be a good tree. From his earliest life until now he's in his 60s, he's only heard one thing. Try to be good. And Jesus says, no, that's really hard. Let me tell you the simple way. Be born again. And Nicodemus says, how does an old man get born again? Does he enter his mother's womb a second time and get rebooted? And all the mothers said, oh no, 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 it's closed for business, one time only. But Jesus exposes the logic of that. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, right? Like, is this, you know, if your flesh is going to do anything to give birth to anything, what's it going to give birth to? Flesh. All of my children, I have two children, both of them are flesh. They are like me. I've even got my older daughter, Charlotte. She unfortunately inherited some of my looks. The other one, I'm like, I don't know where she came from. She looks like her mom, but nothing like me, which is good for everyone. But Charlotte's got my peaky eyebrow. I've got this strange eyebrow that is a bit of a Dr. Spock, you know, where it kind of grows up. Jody keeps, you know, I used to just trim it because I can do that and that's manly. I hate to say it. Now I wax it. Or she'll look at me and go, what is that? Get it off. And so she'll hold me down and pull it off. Do you know that your eyebrows just keep growing? This happens when you're old. You don't know. Your young people, it's just going to be a surprise to you. They just grow. What's happening is your hair recedes. They're trying to keep up. They're chasing your hair back. And your hair is not only running away back from your head, it also runs down your back. I don't know, girls may be different, but guys, seriously, that much back hair. Well, that's where my hair's going. Not here, it's down there. At least I got in back hair monthly. That was a good... No, sorry. I never shot for them. So my daughter is an offspring of me because I'm flesh and she's flesh. But if I wanted to have an offspring of a different kind, could it come from my work? Because my work will only produce more flesh. My badness will only produce more badness. It will never produce goodness. And Jesus says, if you want to be good, you must be born again. That should be obvious to every single farmer. If you want to have apples, you must have apples. You should not have oranges trying hard to be apples. And so, he says, don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind, and the only time in the New Testament that word pneuma is pronounced or translated as wind, it shouldn't be, it should be spirit. The spirit blows wherever it wishes, and you hear its sound, and you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Now, here is the real question. If the good things come from the good God, how can you get God to make you good? Do you perform for him? Do you try really hard? Do you pray really hard? Do you read real lots? Do you kind of try to fake it and then hope that he kind of sees you and goes, right, oh, well, I'll put my stamp on you and you'll get better? How do you get the Holy Spirit to do a work of transformation in your life? Well, you don't. The Holy Spirit blows wherever he wishes. And I'll tell you where he blows. He always blows to faith. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will blow into your life and Spirit will give birth to Spirit. And you will become a good seed. And that basically is the teaching of the New Testament. But you know, the Ecclesiastes says, you don't know the way that the Spirit comes into the bones of the womb of a woman with child. You don't know that the way the work of God who makes everything. We don't accomplish the work. God accomplishes the work in us. And we recognize it by faith. First Peter says, since you've been born again, not of the perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. See again the seed illustration? The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. He says, it's pretty obvious, isn't it, that grass comes from grass seeds, and grass has its glory, it has its moment in the sun, it has its time where it works, where it's brilliant, it's green, and it's nice, and animals can eat it, and it's great, but then it dies, because everything that is of the flesh ultimately leads to death. So it's really simple, but there is something that does not perish. It doesn't go away. In fact, it goes into increasing glory, and that is the Word of God. And that Word of God is the gospel that you've heard. It's the word of faith that's been preached to you. If you hear and believe in Jesus Christ and believe by faith, you will be born again. You will be born not of perishable seed, like grass, but you will be born of imperishable seed, the Word of God, and he will continuously produce good things in you. Because God spoke the creation into being, and it simply was. He also spoke the cycle of life. He spoke the seeds and the trees and the seeds and the trees and the seeds and the trees. So when God speaks life into you, it produces more life. The fruit comes out. And so 2 Corinthians says, for the love of Christ controls us, because we've concluded this. that one, Jesus, died for all, and therefore we all died with him. And he died for all, that those who might live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, for their sake, died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and the old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. If you are a new creation, are you the old creation? Well, here's the thing. Most Christians walk around feeling like they're both the old and the new. They say, "I'm a new creation," but when it comes to the transformation of their lives, they think like an old creation. They think, "How do I make my flesh better?" So, are you trying not to be bad, or trying to let the goodness of Christ out? So one time, I used to work in a mine. I've had lots of jobs. This particular mine, I got the job in this mine. It mined molybdenum and copper. Very nice. Open pit mine. It was about a couple of miles deep. We giant electro hauls would pull up and get filled up by cranes, and then we'd take it up to the crushers and crush all the stuff. And I started work at this mine because my dad worked in the mine, and so I got a job in the mine on my summer break from Bible college, and I was working there. And one of the things about working in an environment where there were 450 men working all on their own, with no women, there was a lot of pornography. Everywhere, like wallpaper. I used to think it was really funny because my dad, who was one of the only other Christians in the mine that we knew of, walked around with a can of spray paint. Because he used to walk around the mine. They called him the Reverend. He's a bit of an abrupt person, let's say. And he used to, every time he'd walk around and find pornography pasted all over the place and it was within reach, he would just grab it and rip it down and put it in the bin. But then they got, and there's a lot of industrial adhesive in a mine, so they used to glue everything to the walls. Can't do that. So he carried around a can of spray paint and did a lot of bikinis just to cover them up. But I had a problem with pornography. And when you work shift work in a place where there's almost no accountability, and the lockers in the control rooms are full of pornographic magazines, and you've got a problem with the temptation of pornography, I would spend nights in, like on night shift, I worked a 12-hour night shift, just chewing on my hand and drinking cups of coffee and tea to just try and stay away from all these things were so tempting. And one time I was out in... I was out hosing down a conveyor building, which is a great thing to do with these giant fire hoses. It was easier than sweeping. So I have this fire hose, and I'm hosing down this conveyor building, and I have this thing going on in my mind. Don't go and look at it. Don't go and look at it. Don't go and look at it. I was trying so hard to be a good person. Don't look at it. Don't go and look at it. Don't go and look at it. And I had this idea. I'll share it with you. What if Christ is in me and he can fight this fight? You see, he doesn't have any trouble with pornography. I don't know if you know that. Christ has a perfect dignity towards women. There's no temptation. He would never shame a woman, nor see the shame of a woman in a good light. So he was in me, and I had this revelation of the Holy Spirit. As I'm hosing down conveyor 3B with a fire hose and praying, "God, please, I don't want to be bad," he reminded me that I had a good seed on the inside. And so I thought, all right, temptation, try fighting Jesus. Would you believe he didn't have any problem? The Holy Spirit has its own fruit in your life. Do you know what those fruits are? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. So every time you're not peaceful, you need to know that there is somebody in you that's producing fruit of peace that is better than your peace, and his peace is perfect, and so it can cover everything. But also there's perfect love in Christ and perfect joy in Christ and perfect patience in Christ. Oh, by the way, anybody who's married, you need to know there's patience in Christ. Way more patience than you have. And by the way, there's forgiveness as well. There's a forgiveness that you never are going to ever be able to do yourself, and he has it already. And if you have him, you have perfect forgiveness. I had a lady come to me about 2 years ago. She said, she's probably about 70 years old. She said, I was sexually abused by somebody for a very long time. And then because of that event, I ended up in other sexually abused things, and it's just so bad. And she says, I'm well as a person, it doesn't plague my mind. I've tried everything to forgive this person. I've done the courses and I've spoken it and I've said it and I've prayed it and I've asked for God's help, but sometimes every time I think of this person, I get so angry at what happened to me. What can I do? And I said to her, listen. Jesus lives in you, and Jesus can forgive this person. I want you to stop trying to forgive them with your forgiveness and let Christ forgive them in you. And when she did that, she was able to walk free of it, because, my friends, we in the flesh cannot produce good fruit. But Christ can produce good fruit in us. And we are new creations, and we don't regard anybody according to the flesh anymore, because we all died with Christ and we are raised with him into new life, which is really what Galatians says. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Or in another place, Romans chapter 6, verses 4 to 5, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For we have certainly, if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. If you've experienced the end of your life, then the only life you've got is the life that Jesus gives you. And that's what baptism is all about. Baptism is the death of the old tree. It's the end of the old line. It's the end of the flesh. Baptism is a ritualistic death where you voluntarily join yourself in Christ's death on the tree, and you are raised to life with Christ in the newness that comes with the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Are you trying to be good? Or have you received what is good and let him produce the fruit in you? We're going to share a time of communion, perhaps if our stewards would like to distribute the communion elements among us. Jesus knows how hard it is for us to believe things. He knows how hard it is for us to accept things by faith, just on words, on just hearing language, and then somehow equating that to something that's means something greater. He knows how much we struggle to apply something that's a concept and make it reality in our lives. So Jesus both teaches us and then gives us rituals to reenact those things. He teaches us about communion many times in his life, but then he also encourages us to reenact the idea of the communion so that we get its full meaning in our lives. Does anybody know what this is? Is a wedding ring, does this make me married? No, no. It symbolizes what I did on that day with Jody on September 26, 1992. Yes, grand final weekend. I didn't know that that was an offense against Australian customs. I'm Canadian. So everybody at the wedding was outside in the car park in between the wedding and the reception shouting and screaming. I don't even remember who was playing because I was distracted. But on that day, Jody and I came together and we went through a ritual that's recognized in our whole culture, and then we gave one another a symbol to remind ourselves of what had just occurred, because what happened was my old life as a single person ended and I became one flesh with Jody. I made a covenant before God and before man. The ritual could have been done with a piece of paper at my kitchen, but we decided that was not good enough. We wanted to have flamboyance. We wanted to have pageantry. We wanted to have witnesses. We wanted to have nice suits, nice pictures, nice gowns. This is back when it was cheaper. Now it's super expensive. Believe me, I know. I've married two of my daughters. We made the thing so elaborate so that we would know that we had become different people. Let me tell you the most elaborate ceremony that's ever occurred. Jesus Christ came in the flesh so that he could take that flesh to the cross. He could die the most excruciating death so that everybody would know that punishment had occurred, and that on that cross, that Jesus would remove forever the obscenity of sin, he would remove the power of death, and that he would deliver to us his own spirit and life. And he made the most elaborate celebration that's ever been. Before he did it, he said, "This is how you are going to remember what I've done. You are going to have my blood and my bread as often as you do this. And as often as you do this, it's so that you remember that your old life died and that you have become a new creation through me." Jesus taught about the power of his body and his blood, saying, he said to them, "Truly, truly, I say this to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you'll have none of the good life in you. But whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink, and whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him." And you can, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, you can do this without recognizing the body of Jesus. You can do it as a ritual. You can make it empty and fruitless and mean nothing, or you can make this mean everything. You can literally believe that this is Jesus Christ and you are joining with him in his death and you are consuming him, and his life is coming to live within you, and his life always produces good fruit. It always produces good fruit because it's impossible for a good tree not to produce good fruit. He says that's the rules. That's the way it is. You get me inside of you, you start to produce good fruit. It has nothing to do with you. You are just a great place for a seed. So if you take this and you take it seriously and you say, "Actually, Jesus, I'm going to join you in your death and I'm going to join you in your life." And you believe that this is him making you good, then you can walk out of here with the knowledge that you are the good seed. You are the good tree. You're not a bad person trying to be good. You're a good person who's trying to work out the goodness that's in you. You don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed or guilty or feel frustrated, because you'll know that you have something in you that will produce what you're needed to be good, and it won't be by your power at all. Could I ask you to stand with me as we honor the Lord as we eat and drink together. I just want to give you a moment to pray. I'll lead you. Our Father, we're so grateful that you gave this gift of your Son to us. And we hold in our hands the elements of his death and his life. The death he suffered on the cross, and the life that is in his blood. Lord, we want to have a change of our conscience today. We want to see ourselves through your eyes. And we want to receive what we need to be the good tree. We want today to transform us, this moment to reassure us, to make us walk out of here knowing that we are new creations and that the good seed of Jesus Christ is growing a good tree inside of us. So we pray, Father, for every person here, help us to see this, to know this, to experience this by faith, but with true conviction that this is a transforming act. Is there anything in your heart where you're reluctant to let your life go? You need to recognize that communion is the receiving of Jesus' death. And if Christ died for all, then all died. Why don't you just join him? Let go of your own pride. Let go of your own shame. Let go of your own life control and your own expectations on yourself. I want to tell you to give up on yourself today and to put your confidence in Jesus. If you're willing to join Christ in his death, then why don't you eat the bread with me? Say, Jesus, I'm going to eat you. This is your body that was crucified for me, and I am crucified with you. Let's eat together. And if you want that good life in you, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God producing his own fruit inside of you, the life of Jesus that's in his blood, if you want that power and that life in you, then Christ makes this offer. He says, this is the new covenant in my blood. It's a new agreement. It's like a wedding covenant. You're going to change because of it. And if you want that new covenant of life in you, then why don't you drink with me? I'm saying, Jesus, change me on the inside. Pour your life into me. I don't want my flesh to produce more things of the flesh. I want your spirit, your life in me to produce good fruit. And so I welcome you, Jesus Christ, into my heart by faith. As I drink this now, Lord, I pray that you fill me even as I pour this drink into my body. Let's drink together. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for your sacrifice. Lord, I pray that right now you would remove condemnation from people. Remove any kind of self-hatred or loathing or frustration. Lord, I pray that in the broken pieces of each of our hearts and minds, that you would fill us with the knowledge that we have been made new in Christ and that you are alive in us, producing fruit for your goodness in us. And we pray, Lord, that if there's any gap in us, that, Lord, right in any person's life right now, that you would fill them with that self-control that they need, that you fill them with that peace, that joy, that love, that gentleness. Lord, that you would fill every person with the fruit of your Holy Spirit in us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to live every single day recognizing this truth that we died with Christ and we have been raised with him in newness of life. Lord, we are new creations. We are the good seed. And we thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you and I thank you for your time. I'll hand over to you, Paul or Tara.